It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil mixing on the ones and twos. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D-Lo and KC. Started hour two a minute early. That's my bad. I counted the times wrong. It's all good. Nobody cares. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D-Lo and KC. I feel the need to... it doesn't matter. D-Lo and KC coming up at noon, of course. If you are watching on YouTube and Twitch, hello, hi, we appreciate you, everybody in the chatty house. Even if you're not in the chatty house and you're just watching, thank you so much at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you're there, please hit the thumbs up right below the video. Even if you've got us on in the background, I know that our guy Miguel watches, he turns us on the phone and then the phone is in the pocket. If you could just take the phone out of your pocket real quick, Miguel, and hit the like button on the video.
Oh, yeah.
Shout and out, then Miguel. You can
put, yeah, salute. I know we're in the background on a lot of people's browsers. Mm-hmm. Just bring us to the front real quick and hit that thumbs up. We'd appreciate that. And while you're there, subscribe to the channel if you don't already. Though I imagine if you're watching, you're already subscribed. But if you're not, please do so. James Hammond, Kyle Madsen Show. It's a podcast. Free Odyssey app. 1320 AM, 98.5 FM HD2. And I'm done housekeeping.
Okay.
I think the when we talked about priorities for Scott Perry, we talked about, okay, what's his first priority? And everyone, the coach. You got to get a coach. Okay, fine. Got yep. that out of the way. Got a coach. Keegan Murray's extension now becomes the top priority, right? And making sure that that extension is done, for lack of a better word, correctly. And in a way that's not going to hinder you down the road.
I think that the first thing you have to do is, like, because Keon Ellis's situation is so pressing,
mm-hmm.
you have to come up with a decision right now. That's the one that is going to be on the forefront. But I also think that right away you skip to, okay, let's just get this done so we know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You do have time. You have until October to work out an extension with Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't work out an extension, he plays out next season and he's a restricted free agent after that. So it's not as pressing, but it still matters. And it's something that if you're going to start making like these gigantic transactions that everybody wants the Kings to make, you have to know what your salary is going to look like in each of the next couple of years,
mm-hmm.
right?
For
so,
sure.
So getting a player like this under contract quickly, it does make sense. And, you know, like Keith Smith from Spotrack today, Spotrack. Anyway, he brought up the Keegan Murray extension and said he thinks like a fair value is a 5-year between 130 and 140 million,
mm-hmm.
which puts Keegan at an average annual valuation of roughly 26 to 28 million. that to me is very, that's a, like, it's pretty spot on. If you can get him for 26, I think that's great.
I agree.
If it's 28, again, that's a little high for what he is today, but what he can be is still, there's sure. a big thing, you know, question mark how good he can be. And I've said this before, but I think his career, like, sort of arc is going to look similar to Cam Johnson's. I think there will be a year where Keegan Murray jumps up to 18 to 20 points a game, but it's going to be circumstantial. And you don't want your team to be so bad that Keegan Murray has to score 20 points a game. But you do hope that there's a moment where Keegan can be an 18 to 20 point per game scorer on a really good team, and that he'll have that kind of voice and that kind of influence on the team. And that could be this year. It could. I think for me, it's like, that's a big question.
Yeah, you got to, if you're Scott Perry, that's one of the things you have to drill down on. And you got to know that for sure. What is Keegan Murray's ceiling? What do you think Keegan Murray's ceiling is, at least? And are you banking on that down the road to be part of that core? Or if not, are you signing him to a lesser extension, trying to? And if he's not amenable to it, are you trying to get some value for him?
Yeah.
These are the kind of things Scott Perry's going to have to do. I want to run through a couple things on the Keegan Murray contract, but I want to get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk line where we have a couple people waiting very patiently. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Phone lines are open. You want to call in and talk to the great Joe Brazil, go ahead and do that, and then you'll talk to us. I want to get to our guy TC first because he's got some ideas on what the Kings can do this offseason. TC, you're on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line with the insiders. Go ahead, man.
Yes, sir. What's up with my two dudes, man?
Colin
Hammer, what's up?
What's happening?
Hey, look, so real quick on the Keon, they're both valuable, Keon and Keegan. I think that's a reasonable. So Keegan at 25 a year, so, you know, 4 years, $100 million. I get it to 26, 27, but I think that's a decent deal. Yeah. As far as Keon, I'm with that. I think Hammer, the Rashawn Holmes contract, what was that, 12.5 mil a year, 12 mil?
Yeah, it was right around that. It was a four-year deal.
48?
It was a little more. I think it's 4 and 54, but something
okay,
like
that. Okay,
but
either way. Okay.
Okay, yes. But with that'd have him staying. That'd have him stay. We don't have to compete with nobody.
Oh. And he's gone.
We lost TC.
You can call back TC. Yeah, I think if you can get Keon for 12, that makes sense to me.
No, I like 10 to 12, that would be great for the Kings.
The Keegan Murray thing real quick. So $130 million over 5 years puts him at $26 million. $140 would put him at 28. Here are the forwards. Again, this is according to SpotChart.
Okay.
Here are the forwards in that range. Trey Murphy III makes $28 million a year exactly. $112 over 4 years.
Okay.
Andrew Wiggins, $27.2 million. Jaden McDaniels, 26.2, although he signed his deal back in 2024, 26.2. Jaren Jackson Jr., he is a free agent, but he was at 26.1. Tobias Harris just signed a $26 million a year deal. Miles Bridges, 25. Draymond's at 25 a year. I think 26 to 28 for Keegan. Again, accounting for inflation of the salary cap.
Yep.
I think that's super reasonable, especially if Scott Perry sees Keegan Murray as a piece of this core that we've talked about. If Keegan Murray is a player that he thinks, yep, we are going to get the right pieces around him. Keegan is going to elevate. He is going to be a very, very good third option. On some nights, he'll be the two or the one, depending on how his shot is falling and depending on matchups. That is a player that we really believe in, and we think that $26 million a year is going to be a bargain. Then great. I don't hate that at all.
Yeah.
But if there's doubt, if Keegan Murray's going to be a 14 points a night guy and he's going to be inconsistent shooting the ball and he's going to make upwards of 26, 27, 28 million a year, now that contract becomes a little more cumbersome for me.
I'm with you. But I'd also like, look, if you're going to give Keegan Murray, let's just say you're giving him 26 million a year,
which
right?
It feels like you have to. That's the other thing. You have to do, if you're not doing that, then you just don't believe in him as a player, which is fine if that's what this front office decides.
Yeah.
But then don't just, like, keep him around to keep him around.
No, I'm with you. I'm just, like, if you're giving him the one, let's say a 5-year 130.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah. Like, I know people keep saying 4-year 100. You're giving, he's a rookie scale first extension guy, you're looking at a 5-year deal, because why not? Like, mm-hmm. if you're gonna sign him, you believe he's a ball player, you sign him no matter what. And that takes Keegan Murray like all the way to like 30. So I think that that's where they would go. But if we look at a $26 million, even if you start with a $26 million deal for year one, mm-hmm. Which is the salary cap will be at $171 million in his year one year, mm-hmm. it's 15% of the cap. Like, that is a very good deal. Mm-hmm. That's where you want to be.
And that's in year one.
Yeah, that's in year one. And his salary is going to go up 8% mm-hmm. a year, where the cap goes up 10%. So you're actually going to drop down every year a little bit. So by the end of that deal, he'd probably be at 14% of the salary cap. And that's probably in line with what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's a pretty good value. And I like the number. Again, the $26 million average annual valuation for a salary is not a $26 million starting salary. So even 26 starting, he's probably going to be less than that to start.
Dang, Jalen Green got 3 and 106. My goodness. I went to go. I forgot he got that contract. I went to go, I wonder what Jalen Green got, because I think he probably go a little bit south of that. But no, he got more than $30 million a year.
I think you brought your allergies in here. I'm coughing all of a sudden.
It's like
allergy cough. Yeah.
Are my allergies, what's that, contagious?
Yeah. Yikes. They're contagious. We do have
I did not realize Jalen Green got 35 and a quarter a year.
Holy yeah, but smoke. We're talking about, what, the second pick in the draft?
That's crazy.
And a guy who averaged 20 a game?
God.
So
35.
We do have some news out of the NBA.
Oh, okay.
The 2024 Kia NBA All Rookie First Team was announced. Stephon Castle from San Antonio. Zach Edey.
I'm not gonna do a ding for all of them. That'd be crazy.
Zachary Risachet. Alex Saar and Jalen Wells, Sacramento's own.
Good for Jalen Wells.
Let's get a clap for that one, though.
Yeah, there we go.
We got some air horns too. Let's get some air horns in here.
The second team is Matas Bozulis, the Chicago Bulls small forward. Bub Carrington, point guard for the Washington Wizards. Donovan Klingham. This is where it gets crazy. Klingham, Yves Missi, and Khalil Ware.
An abomination.
Three centers on the second team and two on the first team. So five centers out of the Dang. 10, all rookie.
Khalil Ware and Yves Missi were good.
Oh yeah, Yves Missi is
was
fun.
Klingon good?
I don't think Klingon is good. I don't like. I watch Donovan Klingon, and I think like
it's a complete crap.
Yeah, like early '90s NBA center.
Yeah,
like
that's it. He moves that way.
He moves like,
which it feels like the sport is trying to trend back that way a little bit, but I just don't know that it's going to happen fast enough where.
We
might in 20 years be like, man, if Donovan Klingon was born 15 years later, he would have been.
I guess, but I mean, he's just so like he's lumbering.
I don't watch enough Blazers basketball. When the Blazers play the Kings, that's how much Blazers basketball I watch. So I don't have enough to have a firm take on Donovan Klingon. I was just never super impressed when they played Sacramento.
Yeah, I just know he does not look good against Domantas Sabonis. That's the one thing he does not like. He gets beat up by Domantas Sabonis. So, yeah. Anyway.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
All rookie teams.
Yeah, all rookie team. Of course, the Sacramento Kings are not represented with the all rookie team selections.
That's Devin Carter just missed it.
Devin Carter was, I don't think Devin Carter was eligible because he missed so many games.
Right. All right. So Keegan Murray and that extension are going to be something worth watching. That's probably the outside of the Keon thing, which you've mentioned has a little bit more urgency to it. The Keegan Murray extension, I think, is going to tell us a lot about where Scott Perry's head is at with Keegan as a player.
Yeah.
And what their plan is, because if you're going to pay Keegan, you have to now make sure that he's not being backburnered on offense. Because I know that offense isn't everything. Like, he's such a good defender and he's versatile. I got all that. I follow. Mm-hmm. But also, you can't be paying a guy 26, 27, 28 million a year if he's going to be just an afterthought on that end.
No, that's true, but
that would have to come with some level of ascension.
So for me, like, yeah, I need Keegan to average 15 million a year for that contract to be worth it.
15 points?
15 points. Yeah, I'm sorry. 15 points per game for that contract to be worth it.
Sure.
But I just don't think that that's difficult at all. I mean, he averaged over that the year before this last season. You know, I do think that he is a 15 to 18 point scorer without even...
I just hope he hasn't flatlined as a player as all.
Yeah, no, that's a concern, but I would even make the argument, though, if he flatlines as a player and this is who he is, he would be a starter on a very, very good playoff team.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
That's true. It's just you're worried that his offensive production is not going to be, you know, is not going to be way up here. But I think you can still get him to, like, the Sean Marion status as an offensive player. Maybe not as good defensively, but close. And that's a good thing. Like, if he's going to be a third or fourth, he doesn't have to be your third best player to be your third scoring option.
Yeah. Let's get to Mitch in New Jersey here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line before we pay some bills on the radio side. Mitch, thank you for holding. What's up, dude?
Kyle, James, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Mitch.
What's going on, buddy?
First of all, you got to keep Keegan. I mean, I hope you don't have to have a pay, but I'm tired of them trading away the picks that they hit. Pretty soon, I think we're going to see Fox and Halliburton in the finals. I got that sneaky feeling. I'm hoping it's Indiana and Oklahoma, because Oklahoma has made some good trades, and they got three number one picks this year. Anyway, you got to keep Keegan. And what about these two centers? Is there any possibility the teams can get him? Mitchell Robinson and Hardenstein. Hardenstein, I messed up his name again. Warren, but those two. Any chance.
Thanks, Mitch.
No.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call.
Awesome.
So he wants Isaiah Hardenstein or Mitchell Robinson. Hardenstein, no chance.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of Mitchell Robinson.
Sure.
Like, if you could get, but again, that's not with Valanciunas on the roster.
Yeah, let's just talk about Mitchell Robinson in a vacuum for a second. Like you said, I don't hate the idea for sure. But his availability is just such a massive problem.
Yeah, yeah. You need
I don't know that I want to, because if you're getting Mitchell Robinson, you're like banking on him as this focal point for you. And I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to have to deal with that.
No, I'm with you.
I'm just out.
No, he just can't stay healthy. No. But hey, look, Scott Perry has ties there for sure.
I hope he gets healthy, and I hope he has an awesome career. Especially if he's going to be awesome, and he's going to be awesome in Sacramento, that's two thumbs up. But I'm just, and Isaiah Hartenstein makes a ton of money, and B, I don't know how much he helps.
And I also don't think they're going to move away from him at all.
If you're going to pay what you're going to pay for Isaiah Hartenstein, I'd rather go try and find a guard.
Yeah.
Or a wing.
Man, a Mitchell guard. Robinson, 17 games, 31 games, 59 games last 3 years.
Yeah, but did you see the above the basket angle of him guarding all five Celtics and then getting a steal?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh.
Eat your words when he's hoisting a Larry O'Brien trophy.
There it is.
And we'll talk about the conference finals, of course, coming up here in a little bit. I want to get to a couple more players that are on the Kings roster that Sacramento has some big decisions to make, or maybe they don't have decisions to make. I want to dive into that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. On the radio side, we're going to step aside for a second on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2 Sacramento Sports Leader.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, everywhere. every style, every home.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
To the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking sports movies at the break.
Bench warmers.
You would. That's such a 2000s baby thing to say.
I like that movie.
I saw Bench Warmers once. Maybe I need to re-rack it.
You should probably rewatch it, dude. It's a good movie.
I'll tap back. He's James. I'm Kyle. That guy over there is Joe Brazil. We're hanging out with you until noon. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. A couple more Kings things before we get into the conference finals. NBA conference finals should be a ton of fun. Pacers, Knicks. That series starts tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320. 4:30 p.m. coverage begins, but we got to get the game one of the West out of the way tonight. Timberwolves at the Thunder to begin that series. So we were talking about Keegan Murray, and I don't know, the Keegan Murray thing to me comes down to specifically what the team thinks he's worth, and are they going to quibble if it's $26 million a year or $27 million a year or 27 or 28, like that's,
yeah.
But, and then figuring out who's part of their core. And to me, if you're just listing the players they have, we've talked about the players who are under contract. All right, so let's just do this real quick. Domantas Sabonis, part of a core?
Yes.
Okay. Malik Monk, part of a core?
Probably. But I'm going to be honest, like his contract is one of those contracts that could be used to go get like a starting level point guard.
Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray?
Definitely part of your core.
Part of your core. DeMar DeRozan?
No.
Zach LaVine?
Coin flip? Like, here's the problem I have with Zach LaVine.
Yeah, go ahead. Because that's DeMar and Zach LaVine are now the two most interesting players on this list for me.
Yeah, totally. So here's the issue, though, that I have. Like, if Zach LaVine is a player that you're going to put your eggs into that basket, and sure, if he's going to be a player that continues to do what he did last season, which is he played 74 games, he shot 51.1% from the field and 44.6% from the three. He's one of the most efficient scoring guards in the league. He averaged, you know, combined between the two stops, 23.3 points per game,
mm-hmm,
right? And we talked about this too, this weird like statistical anomaly. In 42 games with the Bulls, he shot 51.1% from the field, and he shot 44.6% from three.
Mm.
In 32 games with the Kings, he shot 51.1% from the field and 44.6% from three. He shot identical numbers.
That's crazy.
Between the two stops. So if he can be that player or even close to that player for the next 4 years, then yeah, he's part of your core. I don't want to see the Kings do something crazy, like do the Jimmy Butler extension that the Warriors did, where you're taking his $49 million salary, you're adding 8%, because at that point, 8% of $49 million is a lot of money going up, and then giving him another three years or something.
And just on the Golden State thing, they're trying to maximize the Steph Curry end of his career. They're in a different place than Sacramento is.
No, totally, totally. But you still have to decide if he's going to be part of your core moving forward. I don't have a problem with him being, you need a 23-point-per-game scorer who shoots 45% from three and 50% from the field. That's excellent. The problem is, in order to have that player, you need to have a great defensive-minded small forward and a very, very good point guard that can play defense as well. And that's how you have to design the team around him. And as of right now, the Kings don't have those pieces. So it's tough to build around Zach LaVine and say he's part of your core. I agree. Like I've said this about him a million times, and everyone always fights me on it. I agree with Scott Perry with what he said. Zach LaVine's been in the league 11 years. He's had foot surgery, and he's had an ACL tear. Like, so there are two major injury issues with him. But on top of that, it's that he's been to one playoff series.
Yeah.
And that's not always an indictment on a single player. No doubt. It's not fair, because certain players just are never put in a situation. And it's also, you know, crazy that we went through like a 13-year stretch in the NBA where either Steve Kerr or Robert Horry won an NBA championship, right?
It's crazy.
So those things are, they happen. I'm not going to put it all on Zach LaVine that he's not a perennial.
But when he's been the focal point, and his teams have been to one playoff series, that tells you a little, at least like a little something. And the reason, just with Zach LaVine, the reason, and I kind of wonder if this is going to shift, because the reason he was deemed untradeable during and after the 23-24 season was because that year he played in 25 games. He shot 45.2% from the field and 34.9% from three. That was down from the year before, where he did play 77 games, shot 48.5%, 37.5% from three. But the year before that, he was an all-star at 47.6% from the field, 38.9% from three. The year before that, he was an all-star at 50.7% from the field, 41.9% from three. So what you were seeing was a decline in production, a decline in efficiency, while also he's playing in 25 games, and this is a guy who, at various points in his career, struggled to play more than 60.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, man, he's 28, his numbers are going down, he's not healthy, this is a bad contract. I do wonder if after last year, where he plays in 74 games and was super efficient across two different stops, if now all of a sudden his contract with a couple years left becomes a little bit more enticing.
Well, I certainly think that his contract, if you get through this season, his contract will be easily movable the next year. I know $49 million is crazy, but that's what you're exactly right. It's a massive, like, expiring contract. So a team could go away from two players. They could go away from, like, a big money player that they just, or, you know, what they don't, if you get into, like, into a big deal for a big money player, right? And you're going to, say, trade three or four first round picks for that player. It's easier to just have a bulk salary that goes and then is expiring, right? As opposed to having to nickel and dime your way to $50 million player.
Yeah.
But like, to get back to what we were talking about right before we went to the break, or while we were on the break, my biggest concern is that, again, you have so much money tied up in the shooting guard position right now.
It's a lot.
Like, yeah, and it's possible. It is possible that maybe Zach LaVine becomes your small forward. He's 6'6". I know you look, you give me that look, but like, let's be honest. Is he a downgrade defensively from DeMar DeRozan? Absolutely not.
No.
So my point being that if you can slide him to the three, he's the exact same height as DeMar DeRozan. He's not built as big, and you're going to have some concerns, especially with Domantas Sabonis being your center in that situation. But I like him better on the wing defending than I do up at the top of the key.
Sure.
So it's just an easier position to to defend from, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have the baseline, you have the out of bounds line, mm-hmm. right? You have the sideline. So I would be okay with that. My concern is that the Kings can't find a point guard to put next to him mm-hmm. at all. Like if he moves to small forward, and now you have Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis in your starting lineup, mm-hmm. and you go find a point guard that makes sense, however you do that, now you got Malik Monk off the bench, you know, you're starting to see like how you're supporting Zach LaVine in the right way.
Sure.
And it might be that he's got to move to the small forward position to support him in the right way. My concern is that the Kings are going to get into this situation that they did, you know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, where it's like they keep cycling through like mid point guards, like mm-hmm. middle of the pack, you know, oh, we don't really have enough money. Let's use our $14 million mid-level exception to go out there and find a point guard and kind of do like what they did with Darren Collison and Ty Lawson. And you're just sitting there the whole time going, they're just space fillers. They're, you know.
So now's a bad time to say, throw some money at Tyus Jones.
Yeah, exactly. So Tyus Jones is exactly the player that we're talking about. And like, if you have to bring in a Tyus Jones, but it's for 1 year, here's the problem.
Tyus Jones still an effective player, but go on.
He's an effective player, and he's effective enough that your team with the group that we just talked about, mm-hmm. if you're moving off of DeMar DeRozan to bring someone else in, but you're still in this same group of players, you're a, you know, let's just say 38 to 48 win team. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be able to fill that point guard position. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a point where a point guard that's good enough to upgrade is yeah. available, and you're just going to sit there and kind of be mid.
You're gonna tread water, yeah.
You're going to tread water. Yeah. And again, it's not being disrespectful to Darren Collison, but when he was on the Kings as their starting point guard, he's between 20 and 30 in best point guards in the league. And it's not a good place to be in.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not ideal, for sure.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder with Zach LaVine, because you mentioned about building around him. And I think if you're going to have Zach LaVine on your roster, then it's what we talked about with Domantas Sabonis. Like you gotta make sure you're supplementing the roster the right way.
Yeah.
Because maybe the Zach LaVine Domantas Sabonis two man game is just awesome offensively, and if you surround him with the right pieces, all of a sudden you've got a playoff team on your hands. I kind of wonder, because this is another decision Scott Perry has to make. I don't think you can half ass it one way or the other with Zach LaVine. I don't think you can go into this where you go, okay, Zach LaVine's just on. Again, I'm gonna operate as though Scott Perry still believes what he said about Zach LaVine on his podcast a couple years ago, mm-hmm. where Zach LaVine is at his best as a third option. Not a winning player, especially as a one or a two. He's got to be a third option. So let's just go with that. If that's what he still thinks about Zach LaVine, you can't you have him. And if you can't move him, you can't just be like, oh, well, I just don't like him, so I'm going to just build around, I'm going to build a separate team, and Zach LaVine's just kind of going to be on the roster. Because that's where you wind up with a weird team build. If they're going to have Zach LaVine, and maybe Scott Perry doesn't like Zach LaVine, thinks he's a third option, whatever, tough. This is the hand you're dealt, and if you're not able to move him, which maybe they will, but if you're not able to move him, I think you have to go, okay, we're committed to Zach LaVine being on the roster, let's do this the right way. You can't view that as a handcuff.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And the other thing is, I mean, first of all, they had to have had a conversation before Scott Perry took the job about Zach LaVine specifically and Zach LaVine in general.
Yes,
like, right?
I agree.
So about team building and all that stuff in general. And the question really does become, like, is Scott Perry, does he have carte blanche to fix this thing in his image?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he going to be stuck with some of the ideas that your owner has and some of the ideas? Because, like, look, at the end of the day, sure. I think the biggest mistake that was made here, you know, you fired Mike Brown, that happened. You know, Mike Brown had, like, the team had started to spiral. I got it. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is that you allowed two people to make a decision on trading your best player, mm-hmm. who you knew probably weren't going to be there.
Yeah.
And you allow that to happen. And now it's, you know, again, Zach LaVine is a Vivek, like, mm-hmm. player. Mm-hmm. He's a Vivek player, mm-hmm. straight up. And so how does Scott Perry deal with that aspect of this? Mm-hmm. And you can say, okay, well, maybe he holds out and says, okay, like, I've got to deal with this for 2 years, and then we have a $49 million, you know, break on the luxury, on the salary cap. Mm-hmm. But even at that point, you have to look at your salary cap and how is it designed, and will you have any money to spend in that offseason?
So that's the other, if that's how he's viewing this, and again, Scott Perry's not stupid. He didn't get to the Kings and go, yeah, I'm in, and then go, wait, Zach LaVine is here?
Wait, I didn't know.
Damn it! Yeah. Like, he's not, like, that's not how this went, right?
Yeah.
But if, let's go to the world where that's how he views this. Where he goes, hey man, in a couple years we're gonna have a $49 million salary slot open up. Mm-hmm. If that's the goal here, is to wait out the Zach LaVine contract, A, I don't think this is the right hire. But B, if that's what you're doing, you have to then, you're tanking at that point. Winning now matters so much less than waiting out the Zach LaVine contract. Because if that's what you're doing and you're going, yeah, hey, we're going to have this $40 million opened up, then cool, start gaining assets.
Yeah.
Start tearing this thing down and figuring out what the future looks like after Zach LaVine if all you're doing is waiting for the Zach LaVine contract to be over. Which is why I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's just a loser-ass way to go. And Scott Perry did not give off in his press conference that he intends to do that. And I don't think Doug Christie wants to do that.
No. And like, look,
I just can't imagine they're sitting there going, oh man, can't wait till Zach LaVine is gone. Like, brother, you got him. Figure out how to win now.
And I'm going to keep pointing this out. Like, the way Scott Perry described Zach LaVine is, you, if he's your third best player, your third option, right? Mm-hmm. If Zach LaVine is your third scoring option, I'll make this, and people can fight with me on this if not. I still think, you know, Domantas Sabonis was a second option on a 48-win team. He can be a second option and as an offensive hub, mm-hmm. with Zach LaVine being a number two scoring option, as long as you have that other player that's better. And again, like, it kind of comes down to, like, offensive options versus, like, best players, right? So I would make the argument
in crunch time, who has the ball in their hands?
Well, yeah, but that's not how a game. Okay, this is how I get your point there. Mm-hmm. In crunch time, who has a ball in their hands? It probably won't be Zach LaVine because he hasn't really proven that that's who he is. Mm-hmm. In crunch time, sometimes he is, but he's more of a, hey, we're down 12, I need you to go out there and score like, mm-hmm. 18 in the fourth. Than he is, hey, we're up 6, and I need you to sit there and keep that, maintain that lead, mm-hmm. with high level, you know, efficient, sure. scoring down the stretch. I think, like, looking at the Kings this year, Keegan Murray's the fifth option on the offense for most of the season. He's not their fifth best player. He's probably their third or fourth best player. Mm-hmm. And it's because his defense means so much more. And that's where, like, we get caught in the semantics of, you know, is LaVine the second option or is he the third option? It's like, if Zach LaVine is like your second or third leading scorer, but your fourth or fifth best player, I actually think that's okay because you just can't get away from the fact that he can't play defense.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't think it's super easy to go find three or four players who are better than Zach LaVine.
No, I agree.
And that's where when you start talking about first, second, third option, I think that's more what it's about is, okay, Zach LaVine is clearly their best scorer right now. Mm-hmm. And if tie game, 10 seconds left, he's the guy you probably want taking the shot on this team. And I know that's such a specific instance, but that's kind of where you know, the hierarchy is separated. The challenge then, I guess, is, all right, Zach LaVine's here. You think he has to be the third option. Let's just say Domas is your second option. Now you need to find a number one?
Yeah.
That's not super easy.
No.
And so to me, it's, okay, if you're going to try and, if it's Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, it's just, I know we say this every time we talk about the Kings, just wings, dude. Start loading up defensively. See if you can muck up games that way. and make it so Domantas Sabonis is the offensive hub with Zach LaVine as your leading scorer is an effective way to piece together 50 wins.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be really tough. There's no way to slice this where this is going to be easy for Scott Perry and the Kings. There's no, to me, like, one way to go about it. There's not like a, hey, you definitely have to do this, this, and this.
Yeah. I mean, you can take a home run swing here.
Sure.
And be one of the worst offense, one of the worst defensive teams in the history of the game. Because that's what the home run swings, the point guards that may or may not be available.
Sure.
There are guys like John Morant. There are guys like Trae Young that do not play defense at all. And if you put them in a starting lineup alongside Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
As a shooting guard,
I have a real problem.
You're going to have foul trouble every single. Domas won't even. He already leads the league in fouls, and it's because of the same exact
would
thing.
Would not get easier.
Nope.
For sure. All right. We got conference finals starting tonight. The NBA playoffs get real now. I think Damian Barling's going to join us for the handoff. We'll get into some of those series. We'll get into some predictions. I really enjoyed the Kings talk today, guys. Thanks, everybody who has participated. And we will continue that discussion throughout the offseason. NBA Conference Finals, official predictions. We're going to give those. We're still going to recommend they play the games just in case, but we're going to give our predictions anyways. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. The handoff with Damian Barling, probably, maybe Kenny Caraway. I don't know. We'll see. Stick around to find out on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm there, I'm Kyle, that's Joe. We'll have the handoff here in a second. Talk some conference playoffs. Real quick. It was reported today by ESPN's Adam Schefter before we get to the conference finals that Brock Purdy's camp asked for $65 million a year as in the opening of their negotiation with the 49ers. And my take on that is like, good.
I also asked for $65 million a
year. That's what you should do. So it's exactly what he should be doing. If the 49ers offered 40, He's going to go, how about 65? And okay, now we work down from there. Anyways.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
The best dressed person in Sacramento, Damian Barling, joining us now. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Excellent.
We've barely talked about the conference finals today because we have been neck deep in a Kings roster building conversation.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that. I heard on the average point guards and Tyus Jones and overspending on Ty Lawson and Darren Collison in the past. And I get it.
I get it. We're going to talk about the conference finals now, though, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Great. Who of the young stars that are in this, who are we rooting for the most to get their first title?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I really like Ant.
I'm rooting for Ant.
I like Ant's up there. I've really taken a liking to Tyrese and this Indiana team. So they're up there too. Mm-hmm. The answer's like Ant and Ty are really, really close.
Okay.
Like I love Anthony Edwards. I love his attitude, his vibe. You know, maybe some questionable things like there go along with my man Ant. but I love that Ty's starting to develop like a little bit of an edge. I like that he has a little bit of swagger. Those two are very much at the top of my list, but really, I love watching Jalen and what he's done in this postseason. I think it's been incredible. I haven't had as much fun watching SGA and the Thunder, but you know, I'll get there. I was impressed with what they did against Denver incredible Hulk snapped them, in that, that second crazy quarter. Like that was, I mean, a testament to Denver for doing what they did for six games in a quarter. But my goodness, that was, to me, there's moments of like championship mentality. And that was a moment where it's like, all right, we've got to do something here.
Yeah.
They do it. And then it's like amongst themselves, they're like, yeah, this is over.
Yes.
This is over. And they knew it. And Denver knew it. And we all knew it. Like, it was over.
Didn't watch a lot of the second half.
Yeah, exactly, right? It was a beautiful Sunday to go enjoy outside.
That was a moment where I looked at them and I said, this whole thing is over. And that's why I don't agree with that. OKC.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but I won't argue with anyone who feels like that. Like, that was really, really impressive. I don't love Minnesota as a collective. That's the weird thing going into this Oklahoma City series. Mm-hmm. I don't love Minnesota as a collective. With me, they're in this constant state of, yeah, you're just going to have to show me. They're going to be in the NBA Finals up 2-0, and I'm going to be like, hey, you got to win the next two or I'm not buying
since Julius Randle came back, he's playing great.
Mm-hmm.
He's been outstanding in the playoffs, and you just won't join me on the Timberwolves bandwagon.
I'm not ready to join you on the bandwagon.
I'm just over here by myself.
I've been a Julius Randle fan, though. Like, I've been a fan is a stretch, but I think I've appreciated Julius Randle. Yeah, thank you. I think I've appreciated Julius Randle a little bit more than maybe other Kings fans have. But just as a collect, I'm not there.
It's Ant number one for me is like the person I'm rooting for the most.
Uh-huh.
Then there's a gap, but then I think Jalen Brunson is two.
Okay.
Because if Jalen Brunson wins a title, he becomes the greatest New York Knick of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of getting to say that I watched that.
Sure.
And he's just changed my mind dramatically. When they signed him, I was like, he's a number two option. This is crazy. Why did they do that?
Who is it now? Is it Patrick Ewing?
It's probably Ewing.
Okay.
Because there's people now in New York, ear to the streets, saying that he's already the greatest Knick of all time.
Jalen. saying that Jalen is.
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Saying that he's already past Ewing.
Okay.
I think that's kind of wild, but if he wins a title as the bona fide number one guy,
yeah,
well, I think that'd be really cool.
Well, especially if especially if he does it playing the way that he did this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, he's having a phenomenal postseason. You talk about the players I'm rooting for the most. The team that I'm starting to lean on the most is the New York Knicks. Like the team that I'm starting to think, man, I think they could win the NBA championship.
Yeah.
Granted, I think all four of them can. Like, sure. Legitimately, I think all four can. Funny enough, what James just said, I'd rank OKC and Minnesota as third and fourth.
Interesting. Okay, so give your percentages again. Do you remember? It was OKC 50.
50, mm-hmm. 25 for the Knicks, 15 for Indiana, and 10 for Minnesota.
Yeah, so I'd probably flip Oklahoma City and Indiana. I would have New York and Indiana at the top. Probably neither one of them would be at 50%, but I'd have those two teams at the top with the two Western Conference teams below them. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's not that.
Man,
I'm
that's
just
wild.
I'm just afraid when you go back to game
six.
When you go back to game six, the J. Will game where everyone was like,
it was terrible. Yeah.
If that rears its head in the conference finals at the wrong time, which I think is very possible, I think whether it's the conference finals or the NBA finals, I think that that's really, really possible. And I think there's just something. I'm just waiting for Oklahoma City to disappoint me. They're a great basketball team. They're really they're a tremendous defensive team. But there's every time I watch them, it's just like
I get it for sure.
I don't know.
I 100% understand where that sentiment comes from, but for me, they gave away game one of that series against Oklahoma City. Just doing dumb stuff.
OKC in Denver? Yes. I just, well,
they
okay.
did. They were
that's
up.
Fair.
They were fouling at
fair.
The wrong time.
No,
it
no,
just,
no.
It was a
that,
mess.
That's fine, but it was don't, a mess. Yeah, but I feel like that discredits Denver a little bit. Like, Jokic was phenomenal in that fourth quarter.
He was.
Like, they beat his ass. He had 18 points. Like that was as physical of a basketball game as you'll see. And I think he finished with 42, 44, something
like
that in that
game. He was unreal.
But in that fourth quarter, like, I thought he was incredible.
No, he was. And then
Oklahoma City, Mark Daigneault was a little
little
sketchy.
But they started to figure out how to defend Jokic. Like, they figured it out as the series was going along. And then it culminated in this game seven where it was just like, nope, belt to ass, goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's what beating Oklahoma City four times out of seven.
Yeah.
I just think they have too many answers and too many solutions to the different problems that a team like Minnesota is going
to
present.
See, that's how I'm starting to feel about New York.
And I also feel like you want to talk about mistakes and like the J Will game where it's like, ooh, J Dub, I guess. Mm-hmm, the J Dub game where he's like, ooh, man, he struggled. Minnesota did that a lot against Golden State.
Yeah, I agree.
And Golden State just did not have the horses to make them pay for it.
No, and that's why I just don't buy Minnesota.
Sure.
You had Minnesota at Minnesota would be four for me.
You're just out.
Yeah.
Out.
I don't. The confetti might be falling, and I'll be like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think
I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to, like, see it. And maybe we see it in the conference finals, or not we. Maybe I see it in the conference finals. Maybe I see it in the NBA finals. But I could see Ant-Man with the trophy and me just going, all right, we'll do it again next year, pal.
I think, like, the true wild card team out of all of them is clearly Indiana, where we just don't have any idea. When they get hot,
mm-hmm.
there is no one that can stop them. The ball is moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I also have a little bit of concern with the Knicks' depth when it comes to a team like Indiana, because Indiana is going to push. Mm-hmm. And we talk about teams that are, like, created the right way. Like, Jalen Brunson is not a great defender. He's fine, but he's not a great defender, and he's undersized.
Mm-hmm.
But they surrounded him with all of these pieces that has allowed him to just be an offensive genius in the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
You just, like, you go do your one thing. We got, like, every, like, 6'8" guy with a 7'4" wingspan in the NBA. They're on our team, and we got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so that series is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I also think the Knicks are vulnerable to a team like Indiana, and we keep underestimating Indiana, and here they are again.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Like, I didn't buy Indiana's appearance in the conference finals at all last year.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute. Like, nice job.
Mm-hmm.
This team this year is significantly better than last year.
I agree with you.
And they're a much better defensive team. Now, I'm not trying to make the argument that they're a great defensive team. Comparing the Pacers of this year to the Pacers of last year, they're a significantly better defensive team. And that's going to go a long way in this New York series where New York, I don't think you're going to be able to slow Indiana down for four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But if Indiana can slow them down for two,
mm-hmm.
they have enough offensive firepower to, you know, maintain for whatever combination of two quarters it has to be, whether it's the third and the fourth, the first and the fourth, like whatever they can.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're picking the Pacers and the Thunder to go to the finals.
I think I'm definitely going the Thunder.
Okay.
I don't have a pick in the East. Like, I really don't know who's going to win that. I don't. I'm sorry. Like, I really have no clue. It could go either way. I feel like the Knicks against the Celtics played their best basketball of the entire year.
Yeah.
And I they might be playing the best basketball in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not 100% sure on that, but I watched that Celtics series with the eyes of, man, I think New York might do this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to think they might like really, really do it and win the championship. So I don't know. I'm going to enjoy these two series as much as I've enjoyed, you know, a set of conference finals in a really, really long time.
James, predictions?
Both. OKC over Minnesota, Knicks over Indiana, but that's going to be like 6 or 7. I think the other series will be 5 or 6.
I'm taking OKC, wow, and I'm taking the Pacers, and I think the Pacers get it done in like 6. And I think the sentiment coming out is like, man, the Knicks just ran out of gas.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I think Indiana is going to run the 6 on dudes what who end play of the, today.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I think we're just going to, whether it's a hamstring for Ananobi or Jalen Brunson's had the ankle thing a couple of times. Like, I just think they're a little banged up, and they're going against a team that plays fast as hell, and I think that's going to wear on them over the course of the series.
I agree. Like, it's going to wear on them.
Yeah.
I think once you get to like 7, though, 6 is different, but I think once you get to 7, none of that matters.
Sure. No, yeah. No.
Because the difference, right, the difference with
and
Denver.
It's in Indiana.
Denver just didn't have enough guys. Yeah, like, they don't have, like, New York does.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to get them, you better get them in 6.
Yeah, for sure. Game 7 at MSG.
Oh, my God.
I need that. In fact, you know what? I'm rooting for that.
I don't think we can handle that. for being good, but we can't.
Sorry, you guys are going to start a little late. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's here. Insiders, 10 a.m., ESPN 1320 tomorrow. See you there. Drink water. Drink water. Be nice to people.
Yep. See you.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.